Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. Fun fact for you, Batman once tried to become a Green Lantern, but could not overcome the fear of losing his parents. Wow. Now with that being said, I have a great show scheduled for you today. It's a superhero like no other. It's gonna be awesome. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way and we will get this taken care of. Now, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can always catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can also catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. Comment, like, subscribe, share if you have a question, if you have a request for future episodes, if you have things that you felt were important that I may have missed, I would love to hear them. And you can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. All right, with that being said, I am going to be covering the Generation X star, X-Men extraordinaire, Chamber. Who is Chamber, you ask? It's the dude that looks like his chest and jaw is on fire, because it is. It is on fire with psionic energy. All right, his real name is Jonathan Jono Evans Starsmore, not Sizemore, Starsmore. Jono, which is what he's known to as his friend, with his friends. So we're going to call him that because we're all friendly here. Jono is a native of London and a mutant who possesses a furnace of psionic energy in his chest. This power first manifested in an explosion during a party he was attending with then-girlfriend Gail Edgerton. Its initial manifestation destroyed much of his chest and lower face and crippled Gail. That is crazy. As a result of his disfiguration, Jono can only speak via telepathy. He does not eat, drink, or breathe, and it's also believed that either the psionic energy sustains him without needing his vital organs, or that his body is merely a shell and he is actually made up of psionic energy. That's kind of crazy, right? But this is further supported by the fact that Jono is immune to the death factor of Omega Red, meaning that he is not sustained by any kind of life force. The primary manifestation of his abilities is the ability to fire powerful blasts of psionic force. It has been implied at numerous times that Jono is potentially one of the most powerful mutants to walk the Earth, most notably the scale of his mutagenic aura as seen by M-Plate in Generation X number 1, also at times when he is seen to cut loose with his abilities. But his emotional issues have apparently prevented him from significantly exploring this potential. And honestly, if your power manifested blew up half your body and crippled your girlfriend at the time, you'd have some psychological and emotional issues too. But his defiguration also left Jono sullen and angry, and his teammates have often found him difficult to get along with. Shortly after his mutant powers manifested, Jono accepted an invitation to join Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. At the airport, he was attacked by M-Plate, a vicious, evil mutant who feeds on mutant genetic material in order to survive. And the fledgling team of Generation X, which was M, Monet, who was done in a previous episode, Husk, Sink, Skin, and Jubilee, who was also done in a previous episode, and Skin was also done in a previous episode, arrived to fight and played off. Shortly after, Chamber convinced the crazed Penance to stop attacking the team, as he could sympathize with her freakish appearance and came to live with the team. M-Plate captured Chamber with Gale's help and then imprisoned both of them. Gale blamed Jono for ruining her life, but the two managed to get over their physical and mental trauma after the rest of Generation X freed them. Chamber later became romantically involved with Husk, and unfortunately the relationship was strained as Jono often sabotaged the relationship, believing he could not offer her the normalcy he assumed she wanted. Honestly, dude, like, I get it because it's an emotional and psychological thing. But if she's with you because, and your chest is like blown out of your body and your lower jaw, she isn't looking for normalcy. Like, that's not gonna happen. Just saying. And despite their mutual attraction, future attempts to restart their relationship failed, as Jonah's insecurities were always a hindrance. These issues also negatively impacted their ability to interact as platonic teammates. Jonah's greatest victory, though, during the time he was with Generation X, was when Banshee was attacked by the mutant serial killer Omega Red. With their teacher incapacitated, Chamber led the pursuit of the mutant, and after the rest of the team was defeated, Chamber's immunity to Omega Red's death spores, as well as some tactical thinking on his part, enabled him to single-handedly defeat the killer. Despite his time at the school, Jonah was never able to gain full control of his abilities. Chamber grew even more depressed when he saw that Sync, who can duplicate a nearby mutant's powers, was more proficient with Chamber's own powers than Chamber himself was. And this is probably, I'm willing to bet, because of his emotional and psychological hindrances. He just wasn't, it's not that he couldn't control himself, he wouldn't let himself control himself. You know? I mean, almost like an alcoholic, you know? You could easily walk away from a bar. You don't let yourself walk away from a bar. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying addiction is easy to overcome, because it's not. It's not. And I know it's a struggle. I know it's a struggle. It's a struggle of willpower. And I'm saying that this is what he faced. I'm not making fun of anyone with addiction, because I've seen it in my family. I've seen it with some close friends. Addiction is no joke. How you handle it, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Anyways, hopefully I dodged a bullet on that one, because I don't want to try to get anyone offended. Oh my goodness. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, Sync was duplicating Chamber's powers better than he was. Now, when the school was outed as harboring mutant students, an anti-mutant group attacked the school. After Sync was killed, preventing a bomb from killing nearby human students, the Generation X kids felt that their training was over, and they had to use their powers to help humanity. Chamber was the one student to be offered a place on the X-Men by Charles Xavier, but apparently failed to join the group when expected. After failing to join the X-Men, Chamber returned to London, where he hooked up with pop star Sugarcane, creating a publicity blitz for the singer, but she and Chamber parted company after her manager staged her abduction by anti-mutant forces following a phony tabloid story about her pregnancy by Jonah. The X-Men met with Chamber in London and persuaded him to join the team after all, after claiming that the X-Men offered a place that he could finally fit in. He remained on the team for some time, but often showed frustration with being treated as a junior member by his teammates, even after playing a role in the defeat of Vanisher and Mystique's Brotherhood of Mutants when they infiltrated Banshee's X-Corps. Alright, this dude hooked up with the pop star. He had Husk, wanting to be with him. This dude is crazy. He's crazy because he's got no chest. He's got no jaw. He's just literally a fiery furnace. I don't get it, but, you know, cool. Anyways, while she was back at the school... Following a strained time of the X-Men, Chamber investigated the apparent murders of mutant students at Empire State University on their behalf. He became romantically entangled again with someone, with the shape-shifting reptilian mutant Amber, who was the only mutant student to remain at Empire State when they shut down their mutant program. But the relationship quickly ended before it began, when Amber came to believe that he was only interested in her when she used her shape-shifting abilities to take on a more conventionally attractive form. After that, he asked to be relieved from active duty with the X-Men, claiming that he still had much to learn. See, so this is cool, because he was really upset about being treated like a junior member, and then he ended up getting humbled and asking for time off, realizing that he still had much to learn. So he definitely deserved to be treated like a junior member, right? All right. While he was back at the school, Chamber saw Husk in the arms of Archangel. He also saw the death of his friend Skin after the mutant was crucified on the lawn of the school by the Church of Humanity. After an awkward period with Husk, the X-Men were called to a bar where Jonah had apparently given into his anger. He attacked Archangel before Wolverine was able to subdue him. Chamber was turned over to the authorities and, while in prison, locked in a power-dampening helmet. And Chamber then received a visit from Brent Jackson, who offered him an invitation to join the Weapon X program. He accepted. It was later revealed that the fight and the public falling out with the X-Men had been planned to draw Weapon X into recruiting him. After infiltrating them, Weapon X restored his damaged body, and he was sent on a mission to kill John Sublime. He apparently did so, convincing Weapon X of his loyalty, but after stowing aboard a transport to the Neverland concentration camp, he vanished. It was later revealed in the Weapon X Days of Future Now miniseries that Chamber had been captured and brainwashed into loyalty by the program. So that kind of backfired on them. In the second Runaway series, it initially appeared that Jonah had damaged his face again and joined a new team of retired teenage superheroes called Excelsior. But it was revealed that this was merely Jeffrey Wilder, the enemy of the teenage team, the Runaways, impersonating him using a magic amulet. Following the warping reality by the Scarlet Witch, Jonah was one of many students who were depowered when reality was restored. Apparently, his powers failed during a mission with Weapon X. It was revealed that Beast was able to save his life after the loss of his powers, but the exact circumstances are unknown. And in Generation M number 1, his lower jaw, chest, and several fairly vital organs were missing once again. The X-Men left him to be cared for at a hospital on life support. So that's crazy. Can you imagine? Like, your power is what's keeping you alive. And all of a sudden, because of the Scarlet Witch, it just pops and your fire goes out. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I am just this shell of a person at this point. Jonah was moved to a hospital in England, but was abducted by his therapist a few weeks later, his therapist being Frederick Slade, a member of the Clan Akaba, the direct descendants of Apocalypse and distant relatives of Jonah. Under orders of Ozymandias, and this isn't the Watchmen one, this is a different guy. Under orders of Ozymandias, Jonah was afterwards completely healed by the clan, who gave him massive amounts of Apocalypse's blood, restoring his body. However, he took on the pigmentation and appearance of a younger version of Apocalypse. As a direct descendant himself of Apocalypse, Jonah was automatically a member of the clan and was even welcomed by its ruling council, but he rejected their offer to formally join them. Jonah was then approached by the UK-based superhero team Excalibur to join them too, but he also refused, claiming he just wanted to be left alone. A later scan of Jonah's residual energy signature was revealed that his powers have possibly evolved to Omega level. However, if Chamber has any such abilities, they appear to be latent. Okay, so that's, like, that's crazy, right? Now, Jonah later resurfaced as someone named Decibel, who was a member of Night Thrasher's most recent incarnation of the New Warriors. In this new persona, Jonah had a high-tech suit, which gave him the ability to create solidified sound constructs. He revealed that he chose those powers because he did not want to be a weapon of destruction anymore and could now create. He served with the group for the duration until it was decided that they should disband. He was last seen departing in the company of Jubilee and other surviving members of the team. Now, this was kind of an effort to use criminal paraphernalia, like some of their weaponry, to become superheroes. So he did this, and this ended up helping him get back in the limelight as a hero. So, after they left, Jono eventually made his way to the X-Men's new island nation of Utopia. Shortly after his arrival, one of the split personalities of Xavier's son Legion rewrote the history of the X-Men, turning himself into a hero. In this rewritten world, Jono was once again referred to his chamber and had regained his lost mutant powers, but had also lost the body restorations given to him by Clan Akaba. When normality was finally restored, Jono was one of the few X-Men who retained their physical changes from this alternate reality. He once again, in possession of a gaping hole in his chest and jaw, Jono submitted to observation by the X-Men's resident biologist, Dr. Kavita Rao. Okay, so when Krakoa became a mutants-only nation, Jono then was resurrected. So he was submitted for observation. Something obviously happened in the background that was never really addressed that I could find where he must have passed. But when Krakoa became a mutant-only nation, Jono was resurrected and joined the newly reformed New Mutants along with Mondo. They went on a mission to the Shi'ar Empire with the intent of bringing Cannonball to Krakoa. They were eventually made to transport Deathbird and Chandelier to be Majestrix Xandra Nerimani's teacher, avoiding an assassination attempt by Oracle. He was later seen working with Nightcrawler's Legionnaires. And that's kind of where it left off at that point. But man, what a crazy history. This guy is insane. Let me know, did I miss anything of real significance? Did I miss anything? Is there something you'd like to see added in? Are there any aspects of it that I may have missed? And it's very possible. I was a big Chamber fan back in the Generation X days, and I lost track of him before he became Decibel with New Mutants. It seemed like they just kind of put him in the background and forgot about him. And just going by the history, there could have easily been a lot more to him. He's such a unique type of character. But let me know. Like I said, you can email me directly if you want. It's b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Comment, like, subscribe, share. Help me grow my channel. It would be great. I post videos all the time. I post superhero memes daily. And I post other videos on my YouTube channel with artwork, stuff like that. I post about 4 times a week. So there's lots of stuff there. But let me get into his powers. Now, Chamber's thoracic and abdominal cavities are a chamber for a furnace of psionic energy capable of nuclear fission, whose output can be projected as wide blasts of concussive force or laser-like focused beams that can disrupt atomic bonds. That's crazy! The initial manifestation of said powers have destroyed most of his internal organs along with his mouth and chest, effectively killing his body. Chamber requires no food or oxygen and is seemingly indestructible as he has disintegrated his own body along with despairs down to their subatomic components in a kamikaze attack and later reconstituted himself back in Generation X annual 1997. Jonah's appearance is so unusual that even other mutants are startled and repulsed. His bizarre physiology suggests that he is actually a being of pure psionic energy inhabiting a dead organic shell that he can disintegrate and reassemble from memory, a hypothesis several characters have put forward in comics. Chamber can also project his thoughts into other people's minds but cannot read the thoughts of others, which enables him to communicate without a mouth. At one point, fellow Generation X member Sync used his own mutant powers to tap into and copy Jono's powers and fly. Jono himself has never exhibited this ability before or since. Maybe, you know, with his psychological trauma of the stuff that happened, like when his power manifested and he hurt his girlfriend at the time. maybe that's what's keeping him in the body that he has, as opposed of just being a pure psionic energy being, you know, where he could fly at that point. Maybe that trauma is keeping him kind of anchored in that human shell because of it. I don't know. That's just my take on it. But after being depowered by the events of House of M, Jonah's body was rebuilt by Clan Akaba in the image of Apocalypse, and he later employed technology to mimic Sonic powers as decibels. These powers included flight, sonic blasts, and the creation of solid energy constructs. He has since been restored to his original form and powers by the events of Age of X. So, that's crazy. What an insane power set. What an insane history. Fun facts. In 2014, Entertainment Weekly ranked Chamber number 35 in their Let's Rank Every X-Men Ever list. In the first Generation X novel, he was able to fly by using a special device that harnessed his psionic energy. This device was omitted when the novel was adapted into the Generation X 1997 annual, although Scott Lobdell's concept for it was briefly mentioned in an October 1994 Generation X collector's preview. And upon his first appearance, he was listed as being 18 years old. And Martinique Wingard stated in Uncanny X-Men number 404 that Jonah could do so much more than communicate through low-level telepathy, even obtain mind control powers. All he had to do was actually work on it. So that's kind of nuts, right? Eyeboy accidentally discovered that Chamber has a tattoo of the Smiths lyric "Very Low" on his hip. I don't know what lyric it was, but that's pretty cool. And he's also a big fan of Pearl Jam during his teen years. Okay, so this is a question for you guys. The ever evolving debate. Back in the 90s, Pearl Jam and Nirvana were the two like leaders of grunge. Nirvana's always been proclaimed as king. I was more of a Pearl Jam fan. I just related to their music a little bit more than Nirvana. Who are you? Were you Team Nirvana, Team Pearl Jam? Were you neutral? Were you Switzerland in this? Let me know in the comments. I would love to hear. I was always a bigger fan of Pearl Jam. Their music just hit me a little bit better. I don't know. But let me get into my final thoughts. At this point in our juncture, final thoughts. Chamber is such an amazing character. He's got this tragic backstory and this incredible amount of power. So what do we do with him? You know, he is one of the only heroes out there that is only limited by himself, and he is very limited because of his own self. It's kind of like when Rogue finally let loose with her powers, like finally came over stuff, and she was able to touch people, and she could just absorb powers as she wanted. Like, when she was able to do that, like, she just bumped up about 5 levels. That's what this guy is. He is being held back by his own insecurities and by his own trauma. But what do we do with him? Wouldn't he be perfect in a standalone movie? And it doesn't necessarily have to fall under the MCU. Because if we look like the New Mutants movie, not in the MCU, it was like a Sony or Fox film. Wasn't the best, but it wasn't bad on its own. It was definitely a standalone movie. He could do something like this. Like, just imagine, his power manifests and he almost destroys his girlfriend when it does. And he's left a disfigured man with this basically psychic volcano coming from his chest. In a way, he's almost like a psionic Ghost Rider mixed with John Constantine. Because he is this London brooding teen, you know, happy to be left alone, but when it comes out, he's got the biggest guns of them all. But let's get that on screen, because the CGI, number one, would be amazing. and there would definitely be a story to tell, even if it doesn't have to tie in directly to the MCU. So with that, who should take the role of Chamber? You know, I was looking at young actors, at least in like the early to mid 20s, and I found an actor named Spencer List, who has been in a bunch of projects, but I really don't know how good of an actor he really is. He just has this look. He has this look of a young Constantine, which is what I based the casting on, basically. Hopefully they're pretty good, but as far as the look goes, he has this kind of like tormented look in his eyes, which would be key for someone that blew off their chest and jaw with their own power. But what do you think? Who would you cast? What would the story be? Let me know so we can kind of compare notes. Because, you know, I mean, let's say London becomes this hotbed, like his powers manifest and he is just being hunted all over. And London is a great place for something like this to happen because you have the people that are like, oh no, he's a mutant. We have to take care of this. But London's also got this whole mystical underbelly to it. You know, just Europe in general has this whole mysticism to it. So I'm sure there are creatures like in the mythology over there that he could be related to theoretically, you know. So they could be hunting him as that, like as a modern day incarnation of whatever, like a goblin or some kind of creature, you know, a Balrog, or I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just not my forte, but I think that he could be basically be hunted from everyone. He's just trying to cope with his powers, but at the same time, his powers are so crazy. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Like I said, you can reach out to me via email at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I post superhero memes daily. And you can catch me on TikTok and TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Please like, subscribe, comment. Questions, concerns, critiques, fun facts, requests for future episodes. I am 100% about it. If you want to have a conversation about the superheroes in general, what you like about them, what you don't like, what you would want to see done with them, I am 100% behind it. But I think that's going to do it for me now. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone's happy, and I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. See you guys in a week. Bye-bye, everyone.